Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Jeff Robinson. I'm your host. Name of the podcast is Let's Talk About Sex. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about sex, and we're going to start with the man who invented the sex. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and the only, Adolf Sax. Yes, yes. That's a logical place to start, ain't it? With the man who invented the saxophone. Come on, let's get it going. Come on, y'all. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's talk about sax. All right. Let's move it along. Let's get the talking on. Let's go. Let's get the conversation moving about the saxophone. Again, my name is Jeff Robinson, and the podcast is called Let's Talk About Sax. And we're going to start it with the man who invented the saxophone, Adolf Sax. In fact, we're going to go back even further than Adolf. We're going to start this podcast with his father, Charles Joseph Sax, who was also an instrument maker. And he was born to the parents of Antoine Joseph Sax and Frances Elizabeth and Dinant in 1790, 91, 92, 93. Research is kind of fuzzy on the exact year he was born, but that's understandable considering the time. It would be difficult to get the exact year that Charles was born, but most researchers agree that his day of birth is February 1st. Now, Dinant, during that time, was popular for making objects in silver and brass alloy. And that's fascinating information, considering the chosen profession of Charles Sax, an instrument maker, and also considering that the saxophone was a marriage of brass and wood. It's good to know that Dinant had a strong history with brass. Now, when Charles Sax was young, he studied architecture and was quite prolific. At the age of 15, Charles became an apprentice to a cabinet maker in Dinant. Charles also was interested in music at that time and took up an instrument called the serpent. The serpent is a wind instrument that looks like its name. It's a brass instrument of sorts with a curvy body that was designed to resemble a snake. He was borrowing a friend's serpent at that time, but decided to make his own. He soon started working at a factory that produced spinning machines and eventually graduated to a position of power at that factory. And somewhere in his mid-20s, he meets a neighborhood girl named Maria, and they marry. And their first child was a boy, born on November 6, 1814, and is named after Charles's father, Antoine Joseph Sax. And it's good to note that Charles's son, Adolf, who invented the saxophone, was named after his grandfather. And one reason he may have been given the nickname Adolf was because he shared his name with his grandfather. Now, Adolf's birth certificate lists his father's profession as a joiner and cabinet maker. Now, this is 1815, and the demise of Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo changed things for the Sax family. The factory that Charles worked in closed down after the Waterloo battle, and Charles, Elizabeth, and their newborn child, Antoine, moved to Brussels. Now, he's a new father, and he's newly unemployed. So he started making musical instruments, and he started making the serpent in particular. And over some years, he started adding other instruments, bassoon, clarinet, various brass instruments as well. And it must be noted that he was a self-taught instrument maker. And over time, his work and reputation started to grow. It grew so much that King William I made him the instrument maker to the court of the Netherlands. And he was given the contract to supply musical instruments to the Belgian military bands. Now, this success allowed him to add string instruments to his catalog, and he produced violins and violas, and he had new patents for piano and guitar, and his business started to grow. In the summer of 1830, things got a bit wild again for the folks in Brussels, and the Belgium Nationalist Revolution left quite a few stores looted, and Charles was forced to close his shop. And since his shop was closed temporarily, that allowed him to spend more time studying the various aspects of acoustics and theory of some of the instruments he was making, and he studied diligently. And he had his eldest son, Adolf, as his apprentice by his side. Now, Charles was a strict yet loving father, and he made sure that his son Adolf understood the mechanics of how the instruments worked. And Adolf was the first of several children in the Sachs family. Now, when Adolf was a child, though, he was a rather clumsy child, and his parents and friends gave him another nickname. They called him Young Sachs the Ghost. And because he somehow lived through extreme accidents as a mere toddler, he once fell down several flights of stairs and split his head wide open when he landed on a cement floor. Several times he escaped poisoning, and once mistook vitriol mixed with water as milk. He knocked over a frying pan and burnt himself at one time. Several odd accidents befell him, but the ghost always survived. He was a survivor in many ways, as you will hear in this podcast. And though he was a walking accident, he never misused his father's tools when helping him in the workshop. Before Adolf was a teenager, he was making instruments with great skill, very much like his father, Charles, at the same age. When Adolf was 14 years old, he started playing the clarinet. He was an outstanding clarinet player. And understanding how a clarinet works sonically made him even more formidable. He attended the Royal School of Singing and studied clarinet and flute. He was an extraordinary musician and could have been a professional if he wanted. But still, his dad was an important instrument maker, and at one point, the instrument maker to the court of the Netherlands. So Adolf was groomed to follow in his father's footsteps. And at the age of 16, he had his first showing of instruments he made on his own, a flute and a clarinet. And he was showered with praise. And as they say, a star was born. And it is written that this is the time when Adolf started to develop the sax horn, which we will discuss later, and the saxophone. While his father, Charles, was busy making instruments to sell, Adolf was experimenting and laying the groundwork for many new ideas. This is the time when both father and son built the blueprint for many instruments that would bear the name sax. Now, Adolf, being the clarinetist and the instrument maker, took a stab at improving the bass clarinet. It was known within the industry that the bass clarinet desperately needed improvement. Adolf made quite a few improvements of the horn and was overheard performing on it by French conductor Francis Antoine Habeneck, who demanded that the bass clarinet that Adolf made was used in his opera's orchestra in Paris. Now, I will unfortunately mispronounce some of the names and phrases that are French, but please forgive me. I do not speak French. Please forgive me. I hope you understand. Now, Sax, Adolf Sax, was a great clarinetist and great clarinet maker, and had to prove himself time and time again. He participated in many Battle of the Bands and Clash of the Clarinetists to prove the value of his talent as both an instrumentalist and instrument maker. He made many enemies in doing so. And over the years, as I will inform you in the podcast, his talent at both brought much turmoil and some triumph to himself and his family's life. 1839 was a major turning point in Adolf's life when he happened to see a newspaper article about a performance at the Paris Royal Academy of Music. Celebrated clarinetist Isaac Franco da Costa was to do a demonstration of his bass clarinet. He was planning to tour and demonstrate his talent as a clarinetist and clarinet maker. Sax was, like, hey, I'm better than him. He picked up his bags. He went to Paris. He was 25 years old. He found the great da Costa. They examined each other's clarinet. Then they both played the celebrated bass clarinet solo from Meyerbeer's Les Huguenots. And I'm certain I mispronounced that, but please forgive me again. But what I'm getting to is Adolf Sax won that battle. Even da Costa's wife acknowledged that Sax's clarinet sounded better than his. And once you convince a man's wife that you are better than her husband, you have truly succeeded. Now, Sax was in Paris, so he started to, you know, network and build some relationships with some of the composers there. He met Meyerbeer and Hector Berlioz and others, and he demonstrated his instruments and they listened, and he also became close friends with Jean Kastner, and they stayed friends until Kastner died in 1867. And unfortunately, he had to return to Brussels because his siblings had passed. They had died. Most of them had died. The only survivor was his younger brother, Alphonse. And he and Alphonse were all that was left for his parents, Charles and Maria. And Alphonse was a nickname for this sibling. His given name was Charles Joseph Sax, as his father's name. But he's back in Belgium, 1841. He's 27 years old. Adolf made a presentation at the Brussels Exposition. It's written that this may have been the first time the saxophone was shown to anyone other than the Sax family. Now, Adolf was a huge success at this exhibition and was offered the gold medal for his work. But because he was still quite young, the judges decided to give him the silver medal. But Adolf wasn't having any of it and complained that if he was too young for the gold, then he was too old for the silver. He decided he'd had enough of it. He was out. He was going back down to Paris. Brussels was just too small for him at the time. But shortly after he made that decision to move to Paris, Sax was visited by the Lieutenant General of the French military. He heard about Adolf. He wanted Adolf to help him improve the military bands in France. Charles, you know, tried to help Adolf and tell him not to go, but Adolf was like, you know, you have a similar job, you know, this is a great opportunity for me, he said to himself. So he was gone. He was out. He packed his bags, 30 francs in his pocket. He hit the road. Okay. Now, right, this is just a little FYI moment I want to share with you before we get back to Adolf moving back to Paris. This podcast is about the saxophone, invented by its namesake Antoine Joseph, aka Adolf Sax. However, it would be impossible not to mention another horn that is still used today that Adolf invented. And I use the word invented loosely. It's the sax horn, which I mentioned earlier. Some say Adolf didn't invent a new instrument when he introduced the sax horn. Some researchers say he just added to what was already called the bugle, or, you know, and any other brass instrument of that time, and he named it sax horn. Now, I'm not going to go much into the sax horn here because this podcast is about the saxophone, but it has to be acknowledged that Adolf made major contributions to brass instruments as well as woodwinds. And I also want to make a note of this unique coincidence. one of the greatest saxophonists that ever lived, whose name was also Charles, like Adolph's father, the great Charlie Parker. Charlie Bird Parker started playing the baritone horn when he was in high school, which is a brass instrument that very much resembles the sax horn. Now, Bird's mother gave him an alto saxophone when he was in middle school, but he played baritone when he was in high school. And we'll get to Charlie Parker in a later show on this podcast. I just wanted to say that because I think it's a very unique coincidence. Now, Adolph was constantly sued because of the sax horn, because it resembled many other instruments. And it was a major instrument in the Civil War here in the United States. Both armies, Union and the Confederate, had bands that utilized primarily the sax horn. With this upward pointed bell, it projects sound very, very well. It was a very popular instrument. And there's quite a bit of debate amongst researchers on who gave the name sax horn to Adolph's invention. But regardless of any of that, he was in court constantly for decades over the sax horn and the saxophone about their origins. And it was during this time when he was in Paris that he started to develop the saxophone a bit more. And he, again, was met with lawsuits. Like his father said, you shouldn't go down there. His father really didn't want him to go because he knew he would have trouble integrating into the local instrument making community. I mean, there were some inventors who claimed that Adolph stole their ideas to develop the saxophone. There was a man by the name of William Meekly. I'm certain I mispronounced his last name there, but he has an instrument called the alto fagotto, also called the tenorone, and he said Adolph ripped him off, basically. But if you do some research on the tenorone, you can see that it really is a bassoon, an alto bassoon. And I'm certain that Adolph did not use that as the basis for his saxophone. Another instrument called the caldonica also claimed to be the predecessor to the saxophone, but that's basically a bassoon too. And there's also debate on which sax had the initial idea for the saxophone, Charles or Adolph. Charles schooled his son from a very young age to follow his example. And the actual light bulb moment has never been revealed or noted in history. It seems as if the saxophone just came to be and was presented. Some instruments are too old to find that moment of birth. But the saxophone was born sometime in the 1840s, maybe early 1830s. And other than that, it was nurtured in Belgium and developed in France, but we really don't know about when it really came to be, the light bulb moment per se. Now, the first saxophone was a bass saxophone, or rather maybe a baritone saxophone, actually. It was not a tenor or an alto saxophone, let's put it that way. And some say since Adolph was so much into the bass clarinet and Charles was into the afflauglied that the two just came together and the saxophone was born. Now, the afflauglied is a brass mouthpiece instrument that is shaped like a saxophone, sort of like a sax tuba, if that makes sense. Very hard to describe in this day and age. It's a French instrument that was invented shortly after Adolph was born. And Charles Sax made them in his factory, and he sold them as well. And he was trying to improve on the model as well. And if you put a bass clarinet mouthpiece on an afflauglied, it is said that it sounds like a saxophone. I've never heard this in person, but there's a YouTube video on my website, letstalkaboutsax.com, that demonstrates this. There was a historic demonstration of this theory at the 1976 World Saxophone Congress at the Royal College of Music in London. Paul Sargeant, the multi-instrumentalist, did exactly that. He put a bass clarinet mouthpiece on an afflauglied, and it sounded like a saxophone and freaked everybody out. Now, the afflauglied is a bass instrument. So it makes sense that the first sax was a bass, a baritone registered instrument, if you believe that theory. And that's the theory I choose to believe. And it should also be noted that Adolf was granted a 15-year patent on his family of saxophones on March 21st, 1846, when he was 31 years old. Now, we know that the horn had been developed as early as 1841 when it was presented at the Brussels Industrial Exhibition that year. Or rather, researchers think it was at the exhibition. One story says that the saxophone was accidentally mangled before it could be displayed at that exhibition. And if that is true, then the idea for the sax could have come in the mid to late 1830s. I mean, we'll touch on more of this in the next show of Let's Talk About Sax. Next week, we will continue the story of Adolf's move to Paris. But I really love this theme. We got to get it going some more. Get it going. I want to thank Reactor Productions for this theme song. It's hot, ain't it? I want to thank Joe Stewart for sound reconstruction. I want to thank Anchor for podcast distribution. I want to thank Levitate Web Solutions for production of the podcast. We have a website, letstalkaboutsax.com. We'll see you next week. We're going to talk some more about the saxophone. We're going to talk some more about Adolf Sax, Antoine Joseph Sax. Yes, again, my name is Jeff Robinson. See you next week. Some more saxy talk.